Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? For much of history, human beings practiced hospitality in a system of reciprocity. You probably remember this from growing up, right? Your parents probably said at one point or another that if someone gives you a gift, you either need to send them a thank you note or offer another gift in return soon, right? 2 weeks is too long. You got to do this fast. To do otherwise was a social sin. Parties were not exempt from the basic need to repay. If you were invited to someone's house, you were expected to ask them to your house within a reasonable amount of time. People used to keep journals of what they owed others and what others owed them. Reciprocity, this giving and taking, held society together in a tight web of mutually reinforcing obligations. But then, and now, reciprocity is premised on a question. When will I get what's coming to me? When will it be fair again? In our passages today, we hear about such a party, but I want to start at the beginning and make the argument that in our passage today, God throws a party. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet says that God brought the people out of Egypt into a plentiful land. God gifted them with glory. He offered himself as living water. The psalm says, "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." God wants to feed his people with the finest wheat and satisfy them with honey from the rock. In Hebrews, God is so faithful in throwing the party that he's even willing to send angels in disguise to those who give hospitality to strangers. But it's in Luke that we get the whole picture. Jesus tells the host at the host's house to throw banquets and only invite people who cannot repay him, who cannot participate in a society built on this giving and taking. Why would he do that? Because God works like this. Israel couldn't repay God for their rescue from Egypt. Christians can't repay Jesus for the gift of his life, death, and resurrection. Not only does God throw a party, but God throws a party for people who can't repay. I think this is the very definition of that word that we throw around in church a lot, grace. Grace is a gift that cannot be repaid. In the light of grace that throws a party for people who can't repay, the question, when will I get what's coming to me, starts to sound a little bit absurd, doesn't it? Getting what I'm due, getting what I've earned, what I'm owed, in the light of such an extravagant party thrown for me, I'm already getting far more than I could have asked or imagined. But, you know, we're just not quite ready to give up on demanding that reciprocity. Do you remember the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son? He demanded fairness and reciprocity. The door to the party stood open, but he wanted to earn it. He did not want his father's grace. He did not want to extend grace to his wayward brother. He wanted what he was owed, thank you very much, and it would have been far less than what the father had put on offer. All he had to do was walk through the door. It would have cost him nothing. As Gerald O'Mahony writes, "If I am willing to share heaven with other sinners, heaven is mine already. If I am not, then I am in danger of shutting myself out. God does not shut me out." Today's passages overflow with examples of people trying to earn or control the party that God is throwing. The people of Israel would rather have a God from whom they can earn favors, so they exchange the God who rescued them from Egypt for the golden calf. The author to the Hebrews, both by what is said and left unsaid, paints a picture of people who try to control the party. You can imagine some of them withholding mutual love to get what they're due. Others only offer hospitality to those who can repay. They neglect the Christians in jail or who are being tortured. They want love on their own terms, so they neglect relational faithfulness. They want life on their own terms, so they love money instead of being content with what they have. They're not getting what they're due, so they withhold the twin sacrifices of praise to God and doing good to others. But we don't have to earn it. God throws a party and the door hangs open. And this is one of the reasons that we come to church every week, because here we get a taste of that celebration. We walk in through the waters of baptism. Jesus, our host, sets the table with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. When will we receive what's coming to us? Even more awaits. The only thing standing between us and it is just us. At the party God throws, there's plenty to eat and drink, lining the tables, more than we could ask for or imagine. And we realize Jesus, our host, threw this party for us. He provided everything, the ticket for entry, the bread, the wine, the guest list, everything. At this party, we find ourselves completely cared for, completely loved. So sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. God loves you, each one of us, more than we could ever imagine. Soak it in. But have you ever been to a party with a great host? They watch their guests. And when a guest gets comfortable enough, when they're ready, the good host enlists them to help, writing name tags, pouring drinks, making sure that other guests don't get left behind. Jesus, our host, hosts like this. When we enter the party, fill our bellies, and find ourselves known, loved, and cherished by God, Jesus invites us to help. Jesus extends an invitation in today's gospel, asking people to host parties for those who cannot repay them. Don't worry about being repaid in this life, he seems to say, because the God who faithfully hosts a party for you, something you cannot repay, is the same God who will reward you at the resurrection of the righteous. Yes, you see, reciprocity, this give and take, still matters, but our hospitality isn't based on the worth of our guests. It's based on and in the incredible generosity of the party-throwing God. This incredible grace, the kind that welcomes everyone to the celebration and reaches out to those who can't always give back in return, whether socially, financially, or relationally, requires us to grow in faithfulness. That is, offering this incredible grace means we become hosts like Jesus. As Jeremiah and Hebrews show, we develop our faithfulness to God through worship. But it doesn't stop there. Especially in Hebrews, we nurture our faithfulness to one another, whether it's inside the church, outside it, within marriages, or with friends and strangers alike. Even in how we handle our money, learning to be content with what we have, we grow in faithfulness every day. We grow in this way as hosts of the banquet of grace. So let mutual love continue, as Hebrews advises. Be honorable to strangers. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So, friends, let's throw us a party. Let's throw a party here at Holy Spirit, a party of mutual love and care for one another, where we notice when people are being left out and pull them in, a party that shows God's grace in a hurting world. Let's throw parties for those we love, in our families, with our friends, staying faithful in the relationships that shape us, growing up as gracious hosts. And everywhere across our lives, let's throw parties that we invite strangers to, parties that reflect the love of God in Jesus Christ, a love that requires nothing in return, a love that we cannot do anything to earn, a love that we cannot do anything to lose. God's party transforms us. We realize in it that God loves us deeply. When we host gatherings in the world, others see that love too. These parties change us, and they change the world. So let's find a way to, if it's not a gathering of people, give a gift of surprising grace this week. Something unearned and undeserved, but shows how much this person in our lives is loved and known by God. God throws a party for those who cannot repay, and he invites us to host parties on his behalf for those who cannot repay. So if you're new to the party, sit back and relax. Enjoy the food and the company. Know that you matter to God and that you matter to the people of this church. Then, when you're fed and ready, Jesus invites you, invites each of us to roll up our sleeves together, clear the table, set out the food, and open wide the door. Our shared hospitality will show our community that they matter to us. And in so doing, by God's amazing grace, we'll show them that they matter to God too. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.